Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 69, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord. Try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, and nor from thy ways depart. And what follows, Psalter 69, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 15. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, Almighty Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who has created this world out of nothing and upholds the same in thy faithfulness by thy providence till this very end. And we read in thy word, in thee we live, we move, and have our being. Where thou upholds this world, aware that spiritual warfare has already raged for 6,000 years, where the devil with all his cohorts has tried to extinguish the church from this earth. But thou in these dark and solemn times, then thou still has a church, and there is still a church to be gathered. And then it is in thy very special providence that we and our children may still have thy precious word and the truth thereof, that we have yet freedom that unhindered we may come up to thy house. May we be given to see thy special hand therein, and then surely, Lord, that is for a special purpose, that is for thy glory and for the ingathering of thy church. Then we humbly beg of thee that that purpose may be fulfilled in this evening hour, O Lord. Then when by renewal we draw nigh unto thee, then we have no merits to present unto thee, Our sins are great and manifold. We come unto thee as a congregation, young and old, as a congregation of poor sinners that need to be saved by thy grace. Then we have heard in this morning that thou shalt send a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver his people. Oh, thy dear Son, who was great in his person, who was great in his work, great in his attributes, but also great concerning the number of his subjects. He is great in the wonderful work of gathering, defending, and preserving his church. Lord, may his power be experienced in a special way by the power of the Holy Ghost, because what a great work it is that did sinners did in sins and trespasses to be quickened by the power of thy Spirit. What a great work it is to save sinners, where all thy attributes may be glorified, and that poor sinners may be given to praise thee, O Lord. Wilt thou do it in this evening hour, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, but also what a great work it is to teach thy church that it is grace and grace alone, that by the works of the flesh we can never be justified. Thou knowest how ignorant thy people are in heavenly ways, and what a privilege and blessing it is when it may be granted as a Mary of old to sit at thy feet to receive instruction and to be led further in the mysteries of salvation. Do bless thy holy word to that end in the midst of the congregation in the church on the Lord's day and during the week. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end in the midst of the family circles. Do bless our Christian school. Wilt thou remember the school board, the administration, the staff. Remember the students. Do grant traveling mercies from day to day, O Lord. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee, but it shall prosper in the thing that thou sendest it. And to that end, may manifold prayers be sent unto heaven, that thou may do a great work amongst us and our children in the latter days of the earth. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all those that are called to labor therein. Remember thy servants, elders, and deacons. Remember the student. Remember the sowers of the seed, O Lord. Do remember and uphold the persecuted church. Wilt thou take the veil off the Jewish nation? Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants, and do remember the team. Do bless thy word in this day. Wilt thou remember all those that may bring thy word to the ends of the earth? Oftentimes difficulties, impossibilities, where the enmity is only increasing in many countries against thy word, against thy church, the living church. Lord, do remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our nation. Remember our leaders federally and provincially. and remembered the leaders of the cities and also of our town, O Lord. We have departed so far from Thee, from Thy word, and from Thy institutions, and may it please Thee to grant repentance to Thy church, to be given to repent of evil and worldly ways. It is so necessary that we have a profound impression what sin is, and, O Lord, do grant in a richer measure that godly sorrow over our sin that leadeth to repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of Thy dear Son. By renewal we remember the manifold temporal needs. Do remember all widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt Thou continue to uphold them? Remember all our elderly ones in the evening of their life. Remember our care home, all the residents, and those that care for them. All impress upon the mind of the residents that it is a step toward their long home. Wilt Thou remember all under the physician's care, the sick relatives, all the circumstances are known unto Thee. May it please Thee to bless the means and sanctify the callings. Wilt Thou remember the handicapped ones? Wilt Thou remember prodigal sons and daughters? Do bless their family circles with abounding love, and where Thy word may have authority in the midst of the family circles where that love is waxed cold, wilt Thou grant a bowing of the knees, a turning unto Thee, and what has been separated, may it please Thee to bring it together according to Thy holy institution. Lord, do remember those that are struggling with temptations and with addictions. Oh, do grant them a place at Thy footstool, and may it please Thee to deliver. Wilt Thou continue to provide the daily bread for our family circles, and in that respect may there be oftentimes those moments when they may be given to see Thy special providential hand. Lord, in this evening hour, then we humbly ask Thee to help us. Thou hast said in Thy word that by the foolishness of preaching Thou shalt save some. Wilt Thou grant Aaron's and hers among young and old, and, O Lord, may there be empty vessels in our midst. May such have come up, and may they be filled with Thy favor and with Thy grace. And the vessels that are so full, may they be emptied in beginning in this evening, but also in the furtherance. Oh, it is a way that man shall be abased to the lowest, and Thy name glorified to the highest, O Lord. Do then hear us. Do answer our poor petitions. Wilt Thou remember everything that we forget? Bless what needs Thy blessing. We are so dependent upon Thee. And wilt Thou forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 100, the four stanzas. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do His will. So shalt thou dwell within the land, so shalt thou dwell within the land, and thy need shall fill. And what follows? Psalter 100, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, the question and answers 20 through 23. Question 20, are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Answer, no, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Question 21, what is true faith? Answer, a true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Question 22, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer, all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. Question 23, what are these articles? They have been read in this evening hour. Lord's Day number 7 speaks of true saving faith of the true Christian, with three thoughts. In the first place, who exercises true saving faith? Secondly, the explanation of true saving faith. And thirdly, what this true saving faith believes. A true saving faith of the true Christian who exercises true faith in number 20. The explanation of this true saving faith in number 21. What this faith believes in number 22 and 23. Thus first, who exercises true saving faith? Beloved congregation, we have heard from the last Lord's Day that precious mediator was revealed, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard of him in the promise in this morning hour, that the Lord has sent him a Savior, a great one, who would deliver his people. A Savior is one concerning our salvation, that delivers us from the greatest evil and who brings us to that supreme good, the greatest evil upon the world, that is sin, and the supreme good, that is when a poor sinner by true saving faith is restored into that blessed communion. When we have heard of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, should it then not be our concern, the concern of young and old, how we may obtain that mediator, that he may be ours, that we may be saved in natural life, when there are people that prosper, a farmer concerning their crops, a businessman, then many times we diligently inquire how they have received that blessing. Of course, we read in Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. And nevertheless, the Lord has appointed the means. And then should it not be our anxious inquiry how this mediator may be mine, and that he may stand between a poor sinner and a holy, righteous God? A congregation, has that now become our true concern? Has that now brought us on our knees? Have we told the Lord in this day concerning that promise of a Savior and a great one who delivers his people? Have we confessed to the Lord our manifold sins? Do we have an impression that our time upon this earth is but short and very uncertain, and the Lord granteth this precious time that we may be reconciled, that we may be saved from all our sins? And to that end, then the question is asked, are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Then there are actually two questions that need an answer. Then in the first place, has the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has he died for all people? And even the question, will all people be saved? And then in this evening, then for each of us, a third question, am I saved? Has the Lord now begun that good work of free and sovereign grace in my life? And then concerning this question, many times questions are asked out of curiosity or from a self-righteous spirit. Think of that rich young ruler. Oh, it is true. Let us not condemn him. He was truly concerned. He needed everlasting life. And then Jesus has further uncovered him, and he has went away sad. Oh, the necessity, the spirit of that great Savior, as we read in John 16, the verses 8 through 11, that he may reprove us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, the necessity that the question is asked with a holy concern. Think of that people on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what must we do? And then the answer is no, only those. Thus, congregation, that tells us clearly that not all people should be saved. And should it not be our holy concern that we are reckoned among that people? Because how terrible, oh, it is terrible to be lost. And how terrible it shall be to go lost for a never-ending eternity, oh, young and old. then all eternity we shall be given to think about that given Savior, that was such a great Savior, that he can save to the uttermost, and that we have rejected that Savior, and that shall be that gnawing worm through all eternity. And no, only those, and thus our instructors, they are speaking against universal redemption, and that term that is used in different ways. Concerning universal redemption, many times we speak of universal atonement, that there are many that declare that Christ has come upon the earth to save all people. Concerning universal redemption, then there are even those that declare that at the end all people shall be saved. But it is clearly written in the first place concerning universal redemption, Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, where Christ has commanded that we must strive in to enter that narrow gate. Because we are on that broad way, many there are upon that way, and few there are that find it. We read in John 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth upon him. Thus this answer, and no, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all the benefits by a true faith, that is against the Pelagians, and that is against the Remonstrants, and the Arminians and the Remonstrants in the first place. They deny the sovereign election of the Father. Oh, they speak of an election, but that is based upon a foreknowledge of those that would believe of their self, and those the Lord has elected. Then in the second place, then the Arminian, then he denies the dead state of man, concerning Pelagius, that monk of the fifth century. Then he has declared that man was not dead, but that he was sick. Thus the Arminian declares that man of his own free will, that he can choose for the glory of God and for the salvation of a soul. Then in the third place, then they count the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing, where they declare that Christ has also died for the reprobate, and they deny the necessity of the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. No, only those. But what about texts that declare special things? Think of John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then when we study the scripture, then that world, that word world, has seven different meanings, and we must understand the meaning in the context. It is clear in that text because it speaks of a certain people that are given to believe in him. In Romans 5, verse 18, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Then in the context, then Paul is writing to the Romans of two covenants, speaking of the covenant of works, Adam, the representative head, representing all his posterity, and through his sin, he has plunged all men under death. But then the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, representing all his elect, and so we understand that word. No, only those who are engrafted into him. Matthew 1 verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. John 10 verse 11, the good shepherd that gives his life for his sheep. And in John 17, that intercessory prayer, then it is clear he has declared, I pray not for the world, but for those which thou hast given me. No, only those who are engrafted into him. We have read together of John 15, and that speaks of the engrafting of a branch into another stock. Sometime it happens with a fruit farmer. Boys and girls, then you can understand it. When the fruit farmer now has a tree in his orchard that brings forth a fruit, maybe an apple, that does not taste so good, and that is very bitter. Then sometimes such a farmer, then he goes to a good tree, which grows very delicious apples, and then he takes a little branch, then he cuts it off, and then he puts a sharp point on that branch, and then he goes over to that bad tree and cuts most of the branches off, not all immediately, because otherwise that tree shall die. And then he makes a sharp cut, and then he places that good branch in that evil tree. And then in a few years' time, then that good branch, then it shall bring forth good apples, thus then bad tree that bringeth forth bad apples, that shall bear a good fruit. And that is now the example which Christ has used in John 15. But I read in Romans 11 concerning that engrafting, that it is contrary to that natural grafting, because by the grace of God, then what does the Lord do? Then he goes to that old stock Adam, that is an evil tree with all its posterity, and then by the pruning knife of the law, then he cuts off that bad branch, and then he engrafts it into the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider that wonderful work, then we see that it is grace and grace alone, because it never happens in an orchard. You can understand it, boys and girls, that such a branch that he would jump from one tree to the other. No, he is fastened so securely to that tree. But then it is the work of the husbandman. And then we have heard that that branch that is engrafted into the vine, that it shall bring forth a good fruit. And now concerning that vine and concerning that tree, oh, it needs much a pruning. And then such a tree, oh, when the Lord works, what a begging there is, that the Lord may spare this or that. But the husbandman in his wisdom continues, and then concerning that pruning, then literally such a tree or such a vine will bleed and will weep. Oh, in the life of the true church, what a tears are shed. And now concerning that engrafting, and that cutting off by the pruning knife of the law. Then Thomas Boston, in his book, The Fourfold State, then concerning the mystical union with Christ, then he has written of 12 steps concerning that complete severing of that branch from that old stock. Alexander Cymry, in his explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day number 2, then he has spoken of 16 steps for the complete severing of that branch from that old stock. And now concerning that engrafting, with a farmer, sometime that little branch dies. It is not successful. But concerning that engrafting of that great husbandman, the Lord Jesus Christ, when the church may be engrafted in them by free and sovereign grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, then it is a real engrafting. It is always successful. It is never dissolved. It becomes fruitful. Oh, it is true. Many a storm shall come upon that branch, and at the end, the heavenly husbandman shall take that heavenly plant home. And now we read in our answer, no, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Do you hear the order? Does not first speak of that true faith and then engrafting, but it first speaks of the engrafting and then of true faith. Thus that points to the free and sovereign grace of the Lord, based upon the election of the Father, the redemption of the Son, and the irresistible application of the Holy Spirit. When there is asked, are all men then, as they are perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Then the instructors, they are given to speak of the fruits of election. In this Lord's Day, they do not begin with the truth of election. Later in Lord's Day number 21, when it speaks of the Son of God gathering his church, then they are given to speak of a church chosen to everlasting life, all young and old. That is the only hope for us and our children. But we must not begin with the hidden things. Those are the secret things. We have the revealed will of God. And then concerning the saving of his church, then the Lord even says in his word that we may prove him. Oh, young and old, we have heard in this morning the sending of a Savior and a great one that shall deliver his people. And now those precious matters, they are declared in this Lord's Day. Our second thought, the explanation of true a saving faith. What is true faith? The instructors use that word true. They use that word different times in the explanation of the catechism, signifying that it is not all true faith. In God's word, then we speak of different kinds of faith, of course, true saving faith, and that is only true faith. And then we also read of historical faith. That is a bare assent to the truth of God's word. And that is necessary for us and our children. And that historical faith, that is under great attack, especially in our days, when many people do not hold to all of God's word, perhaps certain portions, other portions, they take out of context. Thus an historical faith that centers on the mind, that we with our understanding in a natural way are given to believe everything that is written in God's word. In congregation, historical faith is not sufficient to appear before the Lord. Historical faith is not saving, but let us never underestimate the blessing of historical faith, that we and our children may be instructed in the truths of God's holy word, because thereupon, when we may be under that word and under the prayers of the church, then the Lord has promised special blessings. By that historical faith, our conscience is formed. We all have a conscience, but it must be formed by the holy word of God. To give an example, people that have no Bible, they still have a certain innate knowledge, an understanding of right and wrong. To give an example, to steal. But someone that does not have the word of God, they shall not know that they must keep the Sabbath day holy. And to that end, this morning, we have heard in the land of Egypt of that altar, the necessity that we instruct our dear youth, and we all need to be continually instructed, because they read in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then there is added, because thou hast rejected me, I will reject thee. And then at the end of that text, because thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Thus, a blessing, that historical knowledge, when by the common goodness of the Lord, it still makes an impression. The children of Israel, when they were at the foot of Mount Sinai, then they have trembled. We even read in James 2 verse 19, thou knowest that there is a God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. Thus an historical knowledge that concerns our mind, but that is not saving. That does not bring us into a saving relationship with the triune God. We also read in the scriptures of Morpheus. Let us first sing. Psalter 327, the four stanzas. O Lord, thy word to me remember, thou hast made me hope in thee. This my comfort in affliction, that thy word has quickened me. And what follows, Psalter 327, the four stanzas. in God's holy word and the parable of the sower, we also read of the stony ground here, a work upon the conscience had much effect, seemed very promising, but when the sun has shone with its heat, then it is withered away. Where the Lord works by His Spirit, then that people receive exercises with that temporal faith. When it may be lively, when it may be tender, when they may be given to pour out their heart before the Lord, when they may be given to glean much on the field of Boaz, then they may be given to have a hope that the Lord has begun that good work. But when it becomes so quiet, when iniquity seems to prevail, then how the fears can multiply, then how they are distressed, afraid, that it was only of a temporal nature. Then they are given to beg of the Lord, Lord, if it was now only of a temporal nature, a temporary faith, wilt thou begin that good work, because I cannot miss thee. We read in the scriptures of remarkable matters. And Esau has sought repentance with tears. And Orpah has left her country and her people, and that has wept on the border between Moab and Judah. And yet she has returned. We read of the light that Balaam has received. We read of a soul that it was spoken as soul among the prophets. We read of Judas, one of the 12 disciples, that he has preached and that he has performed wonders. We read in Matthew 22 of that wedding feast that there was a guest without a wedding garment. And in Matthew 25, we read of the parable of 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. Thus, in the true work of the Lord, how troubled they can be when it becomes so quiet. Then there shall be souls that in this evening, I hope many, what is now the difference between that temporal faith and that true saving faith, because it can lie so close together. How God's people have been troubled with those verses out of Hebrews 6, the verses 4 through 6. It can be in the life of a temporal believer that the convictions are deep, that they are so overwhelming, and yet later it becomes evident that it was not the saving work of the Holy Spirit. Then to mention a few matters, then in the first place, because I read in Galatians 5 or 6 concerning that true saving faith, that faith worketh by love. Then oftentimes concerning that temporal faith, it is more a concern concerning the punishment of sin, then concerning the character of sin, because in that true saving faith, then the true child shall learn more and more the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Then in the second place, then many a times, and O congregation, it can lie so close together, but concerning that temporal faith, then oftentimes that poor making grace, that humility, and that godly sorrow is missed. Oh, the temporal faith, many a times, they are not so glad when they are examined. But oh, that true faith, how often the true child of God is given to examine themselves whether what they have received, that it is true indeed. Concerning the temporal believer, many times they become richer with what they have experienced. And that text out of Zephaniah 3, verse 12, I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the Lord. That is not so experienced. Then many a times concerning temporal faith, they take the name of the mediator upon their lips without ever having learned how lost they were, and then they are given to rest in the same. And then we read in the parable of the sower, can be persecution, but it can also be that with that name of Jesus upon their lips, they travel all their journey till the end. But now, that true saving faith, then we can also speak. We read in the Bible of a miraculous faith, which is a trusting in the power of God. Think of those 10 lepers who were leprous, and they were given to believe, they have heard of Jesus, and that he could heal. And they have cried unto him, they were healed, but there was only one of the 10 that has returned to give glory to God. Thus let it not be, oh, it is true, in the life of the true child of God, they shall experience that they have a mighty God, answers upon prayer, special providential deliverances, but in itself not a foundation for eternity. But now concerning that true saving faith, which the Lord grants in the moment of regeneration, a true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence. Then the instructors, they are given to speak of the blessings of that true saving faith. Then it is necessary that we distinguish between the essence of faith and the exercise of faith. Those are big words for our boys and our girls. And to make it clear, then sometime faith, that is compared to a hand whereby we may receive the gift that is given unto us. And now when a little child is well born, then they have two little hands, but such a little child, they need to learn how to use those little hands. Thus the hand itself, that is the essence of faith. And then the using of that hand, that is the exercise of faith. And they are both gifts from heaven, wrought by the Holy Spirit. The essence of faith, that is given to the child of God in the moment of regeneration. And concerning that exercise, so dependent upon the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And now concerning the strengthening of faith, then our boys and girls can understand it. When you have a person with healthy arms, and they would say, I put my arms in a sling so I can spare my arm, that such arms would become very weak. And now it is the work of the Lord also to exercise and try that faith. And now concerning that true saving faith, that brings into a relationship with the living God, and that they are truly given to believe step by step what is declared in God's holy word. To give an example, boys and girls, if in this week your family would be traveling on a road and there would be a man with a flag at the side of that road that would stop you and tell your father that ahead there is a bridge that is crumbled, thus you must immediately turn around, because if you continue traveling, then you shall plunge into the river. And now if your father said to that man, thank you for telling us, but he would immediately continue to drive on that road, then it is not real faith. Then I think our boys and girls can understand it, that in true saving faith, that is an act of faith. And now, congregation, do we all question ourselves and examine our lives very closely? Is that ever the question? What do I now really believe? Do I believe what is written in God's word concerning creation, concerning our fall, concerning my lost condition, that by nature that I am traveling on that broad way to destruction, and I need to be saved? Oh, young and old, do we really believe that we must die, that we must appear before our Maker, and that we stand sorely in need of that Savior, which is a great one, which can save to the uttermost? And now when the Lord works by His Spirit, then He grants that faith, then it becomes real, then God becomes real in all His attributes, and then my sin become real, and then I become a true seeker. And now concerning that faith, our instructors, they speak of a true faith, and that true faith, then in the Bible, then we read of small faith, we read of great faith. Concerning that small faith that was spoken by Christ to the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, concerning our clothing and our food, then Christ has said to those disciples, O ye of little faith. We read that Christ has also spoken of that little faith to Peter when he was given to walk on the Sea of Galilee. And when by faith he was given to look at Jesus, then it went well. But when he has taken his eyes off Jesus and looked at the boisterous waves, then he started to sink, and then it was a short prayer. And then Jesus has said to Peter, "O ye of little faith, and now for the true child of God, they do not become angry with those things." Oh, the true child of God oftentimes is given to examine and even given to question whether they have any true faith at all. Oh, oftentimes then they are brought on their knees and asked by renewal for the work of the Holy Spirit. It is remarkable that in the Gospels, when Jesus has spoken of great faith that concerned outsiders, in Luke 7 concerning that centurion, speak the word only, and that Canaanitish woman that have come from the borders of Sidon and Tyre, "Oh, great is thy faith," and she has received her request. But also an assured confidence. Thus this speaks of the full measure of faith. When a child is given to believe, when a child of God is led further into the mysteries of salvation, oh, then in Lord's Day 7, then the instructor is speaking to the church that they may examine themselves how far they have been led. And concerning the wonderful works of the Lord, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost, the instructors, each time by renewal they stress, the work of the Holy Ghost works by the gospel, thus the Spirit uses means, the word of God, and therefore the calling for us and our children to faithfully use the means of grace. Christ has said in John 5, verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and in them ye think ye have eternal life." That not only to others the revelation, but now the application, but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God each time by renewal. Then it is the vehement desires of the instructors to extol free and sovereign grace, whereby man is abased to the lowest and God glorified to the highest. And salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Then in this answer, then we read of that given Savior, who is a great one, who has come to deliver his people from their sins, concerning that true saving faith. We mention a few points for examination. In the first place, it is a refining faith, a hatred and fleeing of sin. In the second place, it is an obedient faith. I read in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, "To obey is better than sacrifice." In the third place, it is a faith that believes. It is true, the child needs to be instructed, but all that is revealed in his word. In the fourth place, it is a conforming faith. because I read in Romans 8 verse 29 that through that true faith, the exercise thereof, that the child becomes conformable to the image of God. And then in the fifth place, that it is a growing grace, as Peter has admonished the church in 2 Peter 3 verse 18. What this faith believes, all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. And then the instructors and our catechism and many Lord's days, then they are given to explain one article after the other, the 12 articles, what is necessary for us and our children to believe. I read in John 17 verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and his Son Jesus Christ, whom thou wast sent. We have closed the last time with Matthew 22 verse 42, where Christ is asked, what think ye of Christ? And may now ask you in this evening, may you take that question home. When the Lord begins, then we have to do with the Lord. But in the 12 articles, and it is necessary for the comfort of the child of God to be instructed, then may I ask you, what think ye of the Father? What think ye of Christ? And what think ye of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may we be given to return to our home and examine each of our hearts concerning faith. Perhaps a few souls in our midst that do not know it. May they be given to beg of thee that thou may confirm it. Lord, we have heard in this morning of a Savior and of a great one who wilt thou work mightily in our midst. We commend unto thee in this week the instruction of our youth. Wilt thou help instructors, and wilt thou remember the students. Remember when the consistory hopes to meet and bring us together as a congregation in thy house for a weekday service. Lord, do graciously watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school. Remember also our youth who are studying in institutions of higher learning, where that historical faith even is absent or has come to a very low ebb. Lord, provide for our daily bread. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected, above all, from an unprepared death? Wilt thou guide all our thoughts, our deeds, and our words? Grant a prayer for one another. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings, and wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, also concerning this day, concerning our required duties and callings. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 428, the stanzas 2 and 8. Oh, let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes, so to be obeyed. And what follows, the consistory wishes to announce that a youth group meeting is scheduled in Fort McLeod this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. 428, the stanzas 2 and 8. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.